Ah, welcome back to Grain and Barley. I'm the captain, and that's Beard. What's going on?
In the middle of drinking.
Yeah, I get you every time.
I know.
So, yeah, have you heard my good news there, buddy?
I think I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah, so I have a work for the same company, but I have a new job.
Oh, yeah? I know you're talking about that.
Technically, I am officially corporate.
Oh.
Well, not officially yet. I will be at the end of the month. But, I mean, really define corporate. I have a corporate position, but I'm not corporate.
You're going to be wearing a suit and tie and parting your hair?
No, but I get a company vehicle, a company gas card, company phone. I get to write off all my clothes for work. Like, I buy clothes for work. I give them receipts, and they give me all the money back.
Do they write off alcohol?
I wish.
Damn.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, man. I'm excited to leave my store, but on the other hand, I'm not at the same time, man. This is the first. I said this today, and everybody looked at me like I was like there was something wrong with me because they don't think I think this way. But you know, I said to somebody today, I was like, "It's weird, man." I said, "I really want out of this place, but I'm gonna miss everybody here."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Well, dude, I've been here for 3.5 years or 4.5 years. Now, I'll still see them every now and then anyway, but it's like, this is the first job that I've ever had to where I actually feel like my coworkers are part of my family."
Yeah.
We get in fights, shouting matches, not in the middle of the store, but, you know, we get into it all the time. And then we're like best friends after, you know, right immediately after. Maybe not best friends, but, you know, we still have respect for each other.
I get that.
So, but other than that, we have the in-laws in town starting tonight. So we're doing, so why we're doing the podcast tonight is because we have the in-laws in town, or the in-law.
Yep.
One of the in-laws in town. Now we're doing Airstone, 10-year scotch, sea cask and land cask, two completely ends of a spectrum for scotch.
Mm-hmm.
But the same at the same time. So
yeah,
there's no mash bill, but all it is they're two different environments, biomes.
Yeah.
Biomes for the nerds, two different biomes. So land cask is inland. So nowhere near the sea. I've already had the land cask and Beard has had the sea cask. I haven't had it yet. Beard hasn't had the land cask yet.
Nope.
So, and then the sea cask is aged near the sea.
Yeah.
So should have two completely distinct profiles. But then again, you could taste exactly the same in stuff in each one. So yeah, let's get into this Airstone sea cask.
All right.
Did you find any other information while we're sitting here bullshitting?
No, not really. It kind of just says the same thing that yours says. And it just says that it's located, the warehouses are located near the sea for a smooth tasting whiskey with an air of sea salt on the finish.
Okay. Yeah.
Not much to it.
I can tell you this already on the nose. There's no peatiness, smokiness to it at all.
No, there's not.
But
there's a.
I'm still getting a little bit of like the vanilla-y that I was getting, the same vanilla that I got back in the land cask.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm getting like a. I don't want to say briny.
It's bright.
Yeah, I don't want to say briny, and then like fruity.
Well, that's already briny's already put in your head. Because
it's, of the sea cask.
So
I delete that, I get fruity with hints of vanilla.
Yeah, floral, fruity, vanilla, a little bit of the sea air. It's not as briny as I think it would be.
No, it's really not. It is
sweet.
Yeah, if it does have any kind of brine, it's very subtle.
To me, it tastes like a super, super light bourbon.
Yeah, I was gonna say I get floral and fruity on the initial taste, with a little bit of alcohol burn at the end.
Dude, that is smooth. That is very, very smooth.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm not getting in like a bourbon, because obviously this isn't a bourbon, but I'm not getting
that cherry,
and I'm not getting that creme brulee vanilla heavy.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that.
It's a nice balance.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey.
I haven't had that in a while.
It's sweet. There's like a sugar cookie kind of sweetness.
Okay.
Like I don't know, man. It's...
Is that more of Sugar Cookie than the Bushmills is?
About the same.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to pull out more notes, but I just keep getting that floral fruity. nothing much is coming out of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I still get hints of briny on the nose, but it smells brinier than it tastes.
Yeah.
And it's not even that briny on the nose.
And you're I don't even get the brininess. So there's a peated scotch that I really like, Smoky Joe. It's mm-hmm. inexpensive. And through all that, because it's smoky. Like, you've had it. You're like, what the fuck? it is smoky. Like, but even through the smell of that, you can still smell the brininess.
Yeah.
That's with that. And, I mean, it barely get a brininess on it.
Yeah, the brininess on the nose on this one is the first thing you smell, and then it immediately goes away into that fruity floral.
Yeah.
It's just there enough to go, hey, I'm here.
The smell on it's like very, very bright, though.
It is.
It's like,
very bright.
It's in, what is this coming at? 80 proof? Right?
Yeah, 80 proof.
Yeah, 40%, 80 proof. See, now, if they made it a little higher proof, let's say 90, 100.
Yeah.
It might come through a little more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's one of the interesting things about whiskey in general is, you know, depending on your proof, you do get a lot. It can change the outcome either in a good way or obviously a bad way. But I don't know. I think
if it was higher proof, it'd be a little better. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. I think that it would be more briny, though.
Yeah.
But
if somebody wanted to get into scotch, this might be one of the ones to get into, because it reminds you of an Irish, but also the sweetness reminds you a little bit of a bourbon.
Yeah, it's got familiarities to it that people can pick out. I think that it's got a little bit, as like I said, all those familiarities, but also has a little bit of that, hey, I'm a Scotch, though.
Yeah, I mean, and you want that.
You don't want a Scotch.
You need to know you're
Irish
drinking
or
a Scotch.
Yeah.
You need to know that's the thing. And this almost has the potential to make you think you're not drinking a Scotch.
That's very true.
So, I mean, and that's good in a way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't drink Scotch because they're like, ooh, Scotch, smoky. Obviously, it's not. I mean, now, I can't smell it in here, but there is maybe just a slight hint of peat, but it's unrecognizable unless you drink peated scotches.
You're talking about in the nose or the taste?
In the taste.
Okay.
It's there.
I mean, if you really dissect the nose, you can pull out pretty much anything you want.
I mean, I like it. I like, personally, I'm a smoky scotch guy. Like, that is...
And, if I thoroughly dissect this on the nose, I can, pick out a little bit of a slightly peat smoke, but not much. You know, it's not in your face like Smoky Joe.
Yeah.
Or even
it's not.
Even for Pete's sake, we had that not on an episode, but...
Well, it's not, to me, it's nowhere in your face at
no,
all.
No, it's not. It's a nice balance.
It's there if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. It's a very well-balanced whiskey. And
if you don't know to look for peat, you're not going to, and that could just be me thinking scotch. That could just, taste is subjective, plus my brain always thinks scotch, peated.
Yeah.
But we'll do numbers after we get through the land cask.
All right.
So, but as of right now, what would you give Sea Cask?
Well, as of right now,
on its
own, Sea Cask is better than land cask.
Well, true. Okay. Well, I mean, this is true because you haven't had it. So
it's also worse than land cask.
That is true. All right. So land cask is aged inland away from the ocean. It's supposed to be, it's peaty, smoky. It's supposed to be more just what, fruity, I think it said.
I don't know. You have the box.
Yes. Let's see. Climate help. Rich, smoky taste. Rich. Those are the only notes. Rich and smoky.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sea cask, and the notes just say it's smooth and easy.
Smooth and easy. Well, it is smooth and easy.
That was your
just.
That was your high school nickname.
Damn it! No, I was gonna say just like your mom, but it's one of those. It's okay.
All right.
So. Land cask, you definitely get the smoke on. Now, I'm having sinus issues again. Well, I'm always having sinus issues. It's okay. I can still smell.
Yeah, here in Florida, we've had a lot of small showers come through, and it's really fucked everything up.
A lot? You mean just the last 2 days?
That's been the last 3 days. I work overnights, man.
Oh.
It's always at night.
But you definitely get the smoky.
Yeah, I get it more than I get in the sea cask. It's not as smoky as like Smoky Joe or anything like that.
I also get like gingerbread on the nose as well, but
I get a slightly, I don't know. What is that? I can't distinguish if it's fruity or floral that I'm getting.
I get like smoke and gingerbread, like a smoky gingerbread. Super weird.
It's almost like, to me, I'm getting like if you took a like a mixed berry pie and put it in a smoker.
Like an apple pie?
No, a mixed berry pie. Like raspberries, blackberries, stuff like that. And you cooked it in a smoker, and then you're smelling it from afar. It's not like in my face. I can smell the fruit with a hint of smoke.
Like, you know how I said sugar cookie for that one?
Yeah.
It's like a gingerbread sugar cookie.
I do get a little bit of like, I don't know if it's a gingerbread or one of those, like, I don't know, cinnamon sugar cookies? I don't know. It's like a
cinnamon. Or cinnamon. Yeah, it's cinnamon, not ginger. It's cinnamon, not gingerbread. Cinnamon, definitely.
Yeah,
cinnamon.
It's got a little bit. Yeah, I get the sugar cookie, and then it has a little bit of a bite, like a cinnamon bite, mixed with a mixed berry pie that was cooked in a smoker.
Dude, I love the taste of this. I'll let you talk about your experience with it because this is good.
It's very smooth. It is very smooth.
For how smoky it is.
Yeah,
This is more smoky than the Peat Monster.
I don't get any of the smoke on my flavor.
You don't get?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get any of that smoke.
This is more smoky than the Peat Monster.
The thing is, it could be that the smoke isn't the prevalent part. You know, it could be that the smoke is just an underlying thing that I'm not tasting up front, like a Peat Monster or something like that, where it's very smoky. Smoky Joe's very smoky up front.
See, I get the smoke, immediately.
I get the smoke maybe at first. It's an initial bite that I get at first, which, coming off the tequila episode, I want to say black pepper, but I know it's not black pepper. So that could be the initial smoke
black pepper,
coming out. I get it.
Black
I know what
pepper,
it is.
Repeated. Yeah,
I know what it is.
Go hand in hand.
It's the smoke. Because think about the sea cask. The sea cask starts off with a small briny, and then it goes into that floral, fruity note.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Mm-hmm.
I bet this does the same thing, where it starts off with peated smoke, and then goes into fruity. I take another one.
See, to me, it goes from smoke to, like, sugar cookie to, like, smooth caramel, almost.
I can get that. So, on the second sip, the first flavor I got was the smoke.
Right.
The second flavor I got was a hint of, I don't want to say like sugar cookie because it's not that, but it was, to me, it was like a fruity, a fruity floral kind of flavor, but in a good sweet way without being overly sweet. Then it ended on a light caramel, but through that whole thing is an underlying smoke flavor.
Right, and I get that because if it's supposed to be this, that's the thing. They're not the same. They can't be the same makeup, because peated scotches, the barley is peat smoked before it's put into the mash, so it can't be the same. Well, it could be the same
because all they say is that the barrels are stored in a warehouse. So I don't.
No, because then sea cask would be peated, be smoky.
This is said matured for over 10 years in warehouses located near the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get a hint of smoke on sea cask. And you even said it earlier.
Yeah.
There's a hint of smoke, which is probably overpowered by the sea air, where this isn't.
But the hint of smoke could also be the barrel.
That's true. It's hard to tell. This is one of those situations where the company didn't put whether it is the same mash build or
different.
Yeah,
all the information.
So I'm on the assumption, because it didn't say that it isn't, that it is. Being that the only thing they said was that it's in warehouses here or there.
All I know is that, so for our final thought, we're going to mix the two together, what I have left, which was about equal parts of each. Actually, not equal parts. There was more sea cask than land cask. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Is that good or bad?
Ooh. That smells like some good, really good fucking pulled pork.
Oh, man. No, sweet. I don't. I was like, oh, I only have a small pour of the sea cask left. No, I don't. I have
make
a full
sure it's
bottle.
Like a. Do a.
50-50?
50-25.
Of what? 75.
Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, so do 75 sea cask, 25, or no, 60-40.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a sip of each one individually to get my original notes for my score.
60-40.
Get my score for each, and then I'll mix them and try those.
Dude, you lose 90% of the smoke with a 60-40. But, oh, man. Airstone, that's what you need to do. 60-40 mix between the 60 sea cask, 40 land cask, and call it the storm. There, Airstone, we just gave you your idea.
All right, I got my 1 to 10s.
Your 1 to 10s? Oh, I have my 1 to 10s too.
All right. So I'll go first. I'll do it for both. So yep. I don't drink a lot of scotch. You know that.
Correct. You definitely don't drink peated scotch.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it. I just don't drink that much scotch in general, and I don't drink that much peated scotch in general, just because the amount of scotch that I actually drink. Based on the fact that I don't drink a lot of scotch, the ease of drinking, there are obviously some things I would rather not be in there. I prefer the sea cask over the land cask. So
yeah,
I'm not going to do halves. I'm just because it gets too confusing and too close. I'll say an 8 on the sea cask and a 7 on the land cask. Now, that's not saying that they're not good. I just don't know if there's anything better out there. It gives me room for improvement. Now, they are the best. They are the best or in the top of the best scotches I've had. Yeah. Yeah. And they're in the top, you know, top 5 of the scotches I've had.
Fair enough.
I believe they're both the same price.
They are. They're exactly the same price.
Which is, in our area, about how much?
Like 30.
That's what I thought.
32 or something like that. Yeah, they were 30 bucks
now,
a piece. And that was great because I picked up this one and you're like, well, you went there and you're like, well, they have the sea cask. You have the land cask. I'll pick up the sea cask.
I mean, you might as well.
That's perfect.
When a distiller produces something that is, you know, two variants of the same thing.
Right.
Pick up both. Because there's obviously a reason they have both. And it's not that I don't like the land cask. The land cask is really good. But because I don't drink a lot of scotch, I'm more drawn to the sea cask. But
listen,
then again,
a 7 is a good score.
Yeah. But then again, the sea cask, there's things at the end where it turns into a burn that I don't like.
Okay.
That the land cask doesn't have.
Yeah.
But I prefer the taste of the sea cask, but the finish of the land cask.
Well, for somebody who doesn't.
Was this about your mix?
Which is the sea cask?
Sea cask.
Yeah, that's about the mix.
All right.
So for somebody who doesn't really like peated scotches, not that you don't like it, it's just somebody who
is not a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not
you're
drawn
not drawn
to it.
Them. So to say a 7, that's not bad. Now, I will give. Score is going to be exactly the same for both.
All right.
I'm going to give them. Well, I'll give you the reasons why. It's going to be a 7 for both.
Okay.
They're not bad at all. Like,
no.
They are great scotches. Great.
Yeah, and I only gave the sea cask an 8 because I like it a little bit more. That's it. But flavor-wise, they're both equally good.
If you want to get started on peated scotches, land cask is one to do it with because it hits you with the peat, but it's not aggressive.
Yeah.
I like aggressively peated scotches.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I'm giving it a 7 because it's not, like, aggressive.
Yeah.
Sea cask. It's a really good whiskey. Really good. I was expecting more of that briny, salty flavor that you get from an Isla or...
Speyside?
Speyside. Yes, yeah. Thank you. An Isla or a Speyside. I was expecting that, you know... You're sitting on the ocean drinking a whiskey.
Yeah.
you know, you're sitting at the beach, you got that sea breeze hitting you in the face while you're drinking your whiskey, you know, that's what I was expecting when it sea cask.
Yeah.
And it just fell short for me on that. It's not a bad whiskey. It just, that point, it fell short, and that's why it gets a 7.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, the land cask, it's peaty, and, you know, they say it's peaty and rich, but it's more...
I would say smoky and rich.
Yeah, smoky and rich. Well, peaty, you know, whatever. It's smoky. I mean, it does, if you're not used to it, it's gonna kick your ass, but it's not gonna kick my ass.
Yeah.
Smoky.
That's the thing, is like, I mean, I've had the Smoky Joe with you. We did for Pete's sake, not on an episode, but just by ourselves. And then I also got you that bottle of Compass Box, the Peat Monster,
now,
which is overly, like, it's not overly peaty, like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. It's in a very good way.
No. That was a perfect, like, Compass Box was, Peat Monster was a perfect balance.
Yeah.
Of flavors. This hits you with peat. That, it lingers a little bit, but everything else, like the sweetness, the stuff that I was tasting just fades away quickly.
Yeah.
It just leaves you with this, like, how do I say this and be nice about it? It leaves you with the aftertaste of liquid smoke.
All right.
Now, there's nothing bad with that, because I've had scotches that straight up, I have a fucking $80 the Ardbeg right there, that box right above me.
Yeah.
That was an $80 bottle of fucking scotch. It tasted the whole time like liquid smoke, artificial smoke, tasted like shit. Mm. That's my personal opinion, though.
And that's one of those things, like liquid smoke is a lot like vanilla extract. It's fine in small increments to expand your flavors. When you do too much, it kills everything.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the land cask, I had an underlying smoke the entire time.
Yes.
And then it did kind of finish weird, but it was smoother than the sea cask. That's why I preferred that one at the end.
I get that. Like, they're both smooth.
Yeah, they're both very smooth.
Remember, taste is subjective, smell is subjective.
So I've poured the sea cask into the land cask. I've twirled it around a bit, and I've let it sit. They let it kind of meld together. I'm getting a slightly fruity with a lot of sugar cookie / vanilla.
Right.
On the nose, I mean, there might be a hint of brine or a hint of peat, but this is towards the end of the episode. I've already drinking quite a bit, so my palate's pretty much dead at this point. It smells really good.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, the mix of them, though, it left... I'll let you, you'll know, hopefully you'll notice the same thing I noticed.
That was weird.
Yeah, did you get the same thing I got, where you tasted no peat, and then now, I can still, it's lingering.
It was weird. In the first bit, it was like nice and smooth, a little bit of bite, which is fine, and then all of a sudden, something just tweaked, and then it went like one way, and then the other way, and then balanced back out. And I was like,
dude,
what happened?
They need to do that and call it the storm.
And now that I'm prepared for this, let me get some water and try it again.
Listen, I'm gonna send them a fucking message and be like, listen, you need to mix these two together and call it something like the storm or something. You're welcome, Airstone. You have the name. You now have the idea. Put it there.
So I took a smaller sip this time, like a normal sip.
Yeah.
And off the gate, if you could take smoky and briny and put them together, is immediately what I'm hit with. And then it goes into this floral fruity kind of thing, and then at the end it literally is a perfect balance of the ending and the taste of both of them, because at the end I got a pepper and then smoke.
Yeah, well, see, for me it brought the brininess out of the sea cask.
I was gonna say that it did, like, bring the brininess out.
So mixing the two together, like a 60-40, so 60% sea cask, 40% land cask. Now, I'd like to try it 60% land cask and a 40% sea cask, but I have a feeling the land cask will overpower the sea cask.
So, off topic.
Yes.
Do you have any more for Pete's sake?
No.
All right. Well, for science, I'm going to do a small bit.
Well, for science, I'm doing some Amador.
Okay. I like these kind of things because let's say you don't have enough for a pour, or you're trying to just kill some bottles and build your own blend. Because honestly,
mixing is awesome.
Most things are blends. You know, there are obviously, you know, not blends, but a lot of things are blended. Right. Who's to say that their blend or, you know, their single malt is better than a blend? You know, you can always make your own blends. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a little bit more of this. I'm going to add some of this peat sake, which is, it says smoky and peaty. It's not overly.
Yeah, but you can't really do that, though.
Oh, I can. I have a bottle and a glass.
You can't. You can. But, I mean, it's not going to be the same.
No.
I guarantee you it's not going to be anywhere near the same.
I'm just going to see what it does. That's all.
So what are you going to do?
All right, so I have the blend, or the storm, as we call it. I'm going to pour a small amount of, for Pete's sake, in it, which is a little bit more smoky,
more
peaty, and see what flavors I get out of it.
Yeah, even that fucking Pete's sake is a little
wimpish. So, essentially, I'm kind of trying to do the 60-40 of 60% land, 40% sea cask, just by adding a little bit more smoke to see what happens.
Ooh.
Okay. A lot more smoky, which would make sense. I added for Pete's sake to it, which is a smoky scotch.
Right.
But an underlining briny smell.
Nice.
And then it goes into the sugar cookie, and then it kind of just ends. Doesn't really do much.
Yeah, see, I told you. It wasn't going to work.
It ends on that with maybe an underlining bit of the briny and smoky. I'm going to try it, though. Damn, that's good. So you get that salty briny at the beginning.
You're saying is we need to start mixing bottles here.
Yes. And then it ends on your favorite, which is?
Peat.
Yeah, that smoky peaty.
It's the strangest thing. So I've always drank whiskey. All right, I've always been down to try new things. All right, I was into whiskey, but I wasn't into whiskey like I am now. But I've always been into whiskey. I've liked it, but I've always been into light whiskeys, like Irishes and all this.
Yeah.
And then one day I saw this bottle. It had my name on it. My name's Joe. Saw this bottle called Smoky Joe. I was like, that's a cool name. I'm a smoker. My name's Joe. Let's buy this bottle.
It makes sense.
The first time I had Smoky Joe, it brought me back to a memory when I was a little kid. I was like 3 or 4, maybe 5. Could have been a little older. My uncle used to take all the, all his kids, my sisters, the other cousins and shit. He used to take us all fishing all the time. Well, he'd put a little camping grill out, put wood on it, start a fire while we're all out there fishing. That was the memory that it brought. Like, literally, as soon as I took my first sip, I was there. I was on Pensacola Bay Bridge with my uncle, with my cousins, fishing. So peated scotches have a special place in my heart after that. And that was only like 2 years ago when I started, a year ago that I started liking peated scotches.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about time to wrap things up. What do you think?
Yes.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Grain and Barley. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions for future shows, reach us at info@grainandbarley.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram @GBcast and TikTok @GrainBarley. Thank you for listening to this episode of Grain and Barley. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions for future shows, reach us at info@GrainandBarley.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram @GBcast and TikTok @GrainAndBarley. We do have a Facebook group. Just search Grain and Barley. The secret password is 1 bourbon, 1 scotch, and 1 beer. All those links can be found on our website, GrainAndBarley.com. As well as links to the show, our merch store, and recipes. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next time. Later.
Peace, love, and chicken grease. smoky and rich, just like I like my men